Now let's continue on in Psalm 51. Okay. First thing you need to do is you need to repent for your sins and your part. Because whatever the difficulty is, even though you were led away, many times along the way you could have said no or could have turned back. Some cases you cannot. But nevertheless, it's like they have in the world, you're an accomplice. So you're guilty to a certain degree. So that's why you need to repent. Just like if Satan influences your life and you don't know it, be it through music, be it through friends, be it through your work, be it through movies, be it through television, whatever. You still have your part in it because you went along with it. Some cases you didn't know. Some cases a friend who's taken drugs says, here, try this, you'll have a good Friday night. Boy, this will really make you feel good. No, I'll try it. So you choose to do it. So you have to repent of it, see? So here is the prayer of repentance. Now, this prayer was prayed by David after he had the whole affair with Bathsheba and killing her husband Uriah the Hittite. Now, that was a gigantic sin built up over a long period of time, wasn't it? Yes. Notice how he approached God with his repentance, and notice what he asked for, and notice how closely that ties in with Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God. We do need mercy. Not judgment, not justice. We need mercy and release. Like Jesus said, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Plural, transgressions. Confess them to God. Name them. Spell it out. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Washing of the water of the word. See, God wants the inside clean. That's what he told the Pharisees and the scribes. Said, you cleanse the outside, but God wants the inside clean. And if the inside is clean, then everything outside is also clean. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Now think of that. You have something so traumatic in your life that it's right there in the forefront of your mind all the time. Now that's a tough one to get rid of. And we will see there is a second step that needs to take place with this. But this is the first step. You need forgiveness from God, and that forgiveness can only come through prayer and your personal prayers to God. God will hear, regardless of the circumstances that have taken place. If you truly repent to God, you want to get rid of this thing, you want your life to change, you want your mind to change, you want your heart and your feelings and circumstances to change, then you come to God 100%. Ask him to cleanse you. Verse 4, because here's the key. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done evil in your sight. See, because all laws of right and wrong, good and evil, come from God. And when we're dealing with these severe spiritual problems, it is a sin against God. Whether you've been led away into it or whether you deliberately did it, you still have your part in it, see. And done evil in your sight that you might be justified when you speak and be in the right when you judge. Now here's the thing that is something we all need to understand, and he talks about human nature that we're born with. See? And with the human nature that we're born with, we have the law of sin and death within us. That's another way of explaining human nature. But human nature needs to be converted. And that's the whole process that we're talking about here through repentance. Said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." But here's what God wants. How do you overcome sin? Remember, what is the thing concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread? You put away leaven before the Passover and the feast, right? Okay? That means you recognize the sin. But it just like we read with the seven demons, or with the demon cast out, and it's still cleansed and nothing is put in there, it's going to come back and it's going to be worse. So what you need to do is replace. You repent and you replace with the washing of the water of the Word by God's Spirit. You replace in your mind the evil with His Word. And that comes through prayer and study. Because here's what God wants, verse 6. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward part," inside. See, everybody can see the outside. God sees the inside. He knows the mind, He knows the heart, He knows the thought, He knows everything. "And in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom." So that's what we need. We need the wisdom of God to change, to grow, to overcome. You see? "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Because God can take away every single one of these things. Now, I'm no different than anybody else. I've had to go to God and say, "God, forgive me, cleanse my mind with the washing of the water of the Word." Now then we have to go to the second step, when it involves other people. There's another step you need to take. And this is the hardest one. So let's come back here to Mark 12. Mark 12. Now it becomes important for us to realize how these things take place, and why prayer is so important, and the missing ingredient in most prayers. Mark 12. Okay, beg your pardon. Mark 11, looked at the wrong part. Mark 11, just above the beginning of Mark 12. Mark 11. Okay, now Jesus cursed a fig tree, and it dried up. And when they came back the next day, verse 21, Mark 11, "Then Peter remembered and said to him, 'Look, Master, the fig tree that you cursed is dried up.'" Now notice Jesus' answer. This also can become part of our prayer. Remember where we read in Mark the 9th chapter, "I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief." Okay, here's part of it, right here. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith from God.'" Now that's the closest we could get to. The Greek implies faith of God or from God. You can't have God's faith as God has faith, but we can have faith from God. See? Now notice, how big is your problem? How great is the difficulty? How burdensome is the mental drag? All right, let's read it. Verse 23, "For truly I say to you, whoever shall say to this mountain, 'Be taken away and cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he said will take place, he shall have whatever he shall say." Things lodged in our minds, an emotional trauma, and lack of forgiveness for those who are perpetrators causes these things to stay in our minds. And it continues to be sin within. It can be bitterness, it can be anger, it can be hatred, it can be rage, it can be rebellion, it can be pornography, it can be swearing, it can be cursing, It can be any of these things that go on in your mind in the hidden part that only God knows. So you need to repent of those. That's harder than moving a mountain. Even without any prayer, you can use dynamite and trucks. Okay? Notice verse 25. Many times we stop at verse 24. But notice carefully verse 25. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. I want to read that again. But when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Now, that's what needs to be done. So that your Father who is in heaven may forgive your offenses. Caveat. Right? You can't say, God, I love you. God, forgive me. God, forgive my sins. But I'll never forgive that person over here. Your prayer just fell to the ground. See? Now, what if you really don't like that individual? Did God qualify it? No. He didn't say forgive the ones you like. The ones you like, you're most likely to forgive. Isn't that true? See? Now, think back in your life. Now, here we're dealing with another problem, but it's still a trauma and still a sin within in the hidden part. Because we can all come to church when we meet each other, everything's nice and hunky-dory and handshaking, how are you today? But it's still in the brain, right? Yes. The hidden part, God knows. And you know. Now, if it's a person, regardless of who it is, if it's someone that you really offended and they're still offended at you, then you also have to go to that person and make up with them. Now, do you want to be forgiven? Then you got to do these things, right? See? What if it's something that you know you need to do and you don't quite have enough in you, or the person is far away and you can't go to them and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. I forgive you for what you did. Well, the least you can do is write a letter, okay? And then see if you can make some contact after that. Okay? Now, what if the person is already dead? Now, ask yourself a question. If the person is already dead, and you still have part of your mind, now think about this for a minute. How does God want us to love him? With all our heart? With all our mind? With all our soul? That's our whole being. With all our strength. Okay? Now, if you have a corner of your brain reserved for hatred for a certain person, or because they did a certain thing, you hold something against them, or because you were expecting them to behave in a different way than they did, and you became offended. I even know people who said, well, someone didn't shake hands with me at church. I'll never forgive them for that. You know, I mean, how petty do we get? See? Okay, you don't want that. All right. Now, what if you're confronted with the thing that they're no longer living? You can't go to them, you know. You can't go, you know, if you have something against your mother and father, you go out and stand on the grave and say, you know, I forgive you for this. Well, they can't hear anything. The dead know nothing. Okay. But you can repent of that part of your mind that you hold that sin and let it live in your mind. See, you've got to put to death all of those strongholds in the mind. See? So you've got to forgive that person. I know someone who hated his dad, absolutely hated his dad. Then his dad died. But he still couldn't get over it until he repented of hating his father. Now, maybe his father was really abusive to him. Maybe he beat him up. Maybe he almost killed him. But what did Jesus say to those who were killing him? Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. So the long and the short was, when he forgave his father for what he did that caused the hate and asked God to forgive him for the hate that was in his brain, causing him trouble and trauma to this day, when that was taken care of, he began to be released from it and through the washing of the water of the word and continuous repentance and continuous yielding to God and asking God to continually cleanse, because these are things you just don't get rid of at the snap of a finger. Now, if the trauma is so terrible, such as being raped, ask God to cleanse your mind from it. Only God can do that. See? Or if it's incest, those are difficult propositions to face, but those are very much more common in the world than we would even like to entertain the thought that it is. And in some countries, it's the normal practice. See? God said he came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, let's ask the question. Are you a captive to your old sin because of lack of repentance and lack of forgiveness? Now, you have to ask that yourself. I'll let that be something you can judge yourself on, see. You know what's in here, and God knows what's in here. So you confess to God. Now, if you need to confess to the person, go to the person. Okay? And I've known cases where once that is done, you talk about a real repenting and sobbing session of release, of joy, of gratitude, when that burden is lifted. And we need to do that within the church, brethren. I know someone was commenting to me. Why? Why within Seventh-day keeping people there is so much infighting and self-righteousness? Because of the lack of what I'm talking about today, that's why. See? Now, I know a big high muckety-muck minister who to this day says he's mellowed, but he still harbors hate. And that has incapacitated him. See, these things affect our emotions. They affect our health. And I know people that have been oppressed within the church. And I even know one man, personally, that I feel the way he was treated within the church of God caused him to die of cancer because of the trauma. See, you can't reserve in your mind trauma. You can't dwell on those things. You must put them behind. See? You must put them back. Paul talks about that, doesn't he? Philippians, the third chapter. Let's go there. Philippians 3, here's what we are to do. That's why there has to be repentance on our part, forgiveness toward the individual, to God, and ask God to release it out of your mind. Why should you? Let's look at it physically this way. What if you saw someone who had a belt around their waist and a big chain on it, and they had an anchor? And everywhere they went, that anchor dragged behind them. Clank, clank, clink, clink. Everyone would look, because it's outside, they would look and see, oh, that's kind of stupid. What kind of person would do that, drag an anchor behind him? See? And he just says, well, it's my burden to bear. See? Well, the thing is, Christ takes all of our burdens, right? Yes, he does. He says, take my burden. And that burden is the lifting of this. Well, mentally and spiritually, do you have any chains and anchors that are holding you back? You alone know, so you need to repent. See? Now, another good thing about it is this. When you do, you have forgiveness The other person has been forgiven by you, and now God can deal with you directly, and you can love God more, and you can serve Him more, and you don't have to have the depression of carrying this burden mentally. See? Here's what you do. You have to do this, just like I said. The part of the brain that remembers is also the part that forgets. So you ask God for forgetfulness and the washing of the water of the Word. Now here's what we do. Verse 8, Philippians 3. But truly, I count all things, that is, all the supposedly good things in the world that he had done when he was with Judaism and so forth. I count all things to be lost for the excellency of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung that I may gain Christ. Question. Is that anchor in your brain or in your soul or in your emotion, is that like a little pile of manure sitting back there rotting and festering that is always there? You know how manure pile does? It lets off odor and it lets off heat, lets off steam. It's a wonderful place for maggots. Flies love it. You know, do you have a place like that in your mind that you need cleansed out? You know, maybe in some of the cleansing, you better ask God for a little backhoe, you know. Get some of the stuff out. See? All right? Count it all but loss. What good does it do to be mad at someone who's dead? What good does it do to be mad at someone because you have hurt feelings? And now your whole health and your whole mind and your body and your emotions are affected by it. See? Count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them as dung. The Greek there is skubala. That I may gain Christ. Listen, do you want to gain Christ, or do you want to hold on to these things? What is it that you want in your life? See? That's what we have to ask ourselves. I've had to ask myself. We've all had plenty of experiences where we can be mad and angry and indignantly, you know, and righteously so. But maybe God had another purpose in it than we thought. I know the things that Dolores and I have gone through and our children have gone through. I remember one night, you know, and one of the things you can do to try and drown this, but it won't drown it, you can have a little libation, okay? Little scotch will do just good. Two, three, or four do even better. Ah, that makes it lovely, huh? And then you go to bed and you get this big hangover, you know. And I woke up at 2 in the morning because it was a very low traumatic time in our lives. I mean, the very, very, very lowest. Okay? And I sat up in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, they can't do this. And I sat there and thought to myself, but they did. You know, when you have something like that, it'll take you a while to get over being angry, but you have to go and ask for the washing of the water of the Word. Take it away, O God. Forgive them for what they've done. You deal with them the way you want to deal with them. See? Put it all in God's hands. Because here's what it needs to be for us. Gain Christ, verse 9 now, and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which includes what? All of your hatred and bitterness and anger and resentment and jealousy, right? Because you think you're right in it, so it's your righteousness, correct? Well, I deserve to be angry at this person. Look what he did to me. Which is derived from law, or that is just from carnal ways. But the righteousness, which is by faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, that is based on faith. Okay? So he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Notice the change of his heart and mind. being conformed to his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already received or have already been perfected, but I'm striving, and this is what we need to do, brethren. And what I'm talking about here, some of these are long-term problems, and you may know people that I don't even know of that need to have this information, that need to understand what this is. Ask them if they would please watch this video or if they would please listen to the CD that we're going to send out. Think about what you're thinking. Think about how it's dragging you down. Think about how it's destroying your life. What do you want to do with your life? Can you live your life, your rest of your life, the way that you're going now? What is going to happen? See? Some of these things are that serious. But here's what we do. I'm striving so that I may also lay hold on that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, here's what we need to do. I do not count myself as having attained, but this one thing I do. Now notice carefully. Forgetting the things that are behind. And look what Paul had to forget. Beatings. Chaining. Persecution, killings, all at the behest of the priest. He was right. He gave me the orders. That was the perfect thing to do. Really? No, it was hatred and against God. See? Likewise, anything that you have, you can't justify having it, can you? See? Now, he'll forgive all of our iniquities, provided we repent. And provided that we forgive. And then with the washing of the water of the word, we can begin to forget. We can begin to put away the emotion of the experience. We learn the lesson so it doesn't happen again. But we put away the emotion of the experience. And replace that with the love of God. Replace that with the joy of God. Replace that with the word of God. See, that way, when you meet people, you can truly look them right in the eye and you can love them. Be thankful for them, regardless of what they've gone through. God doesn't call us by merit badges, does he? Oh, this one's been pretty good over there. Yeah, that's almost an Eagle Scout. I'll choose him. He has all those merit badges. No, he looks down and says, oh, here's this one in great trouble. I'll call him. I'll call her, see? Because God is the expert converter and repairer. He can convert and repair the mind. With your active participation, you have got to put forth the repentance and the forgiveness and the understanding of how to run your mind and control your thoughts. That's what it means back there. In 2 Corinthians 10, to bring down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Does hatred do that? Yes. Does jealousy do that? Yes. Does bitterness do that? Yes. Does demonism do that? Yes. Living in the world the way the world is, does that do that? Yes. All of it together, you see. So we've got a huge plate set before us, don't we? Now notice what he does. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are ahead. Now Randy and I were talking one day and he was saying the kingdom. So I thought, yes, that's what we need. So how many did I do on the kingdom? 21 half-hour programs on the kingdom. Yes. Yes. Okay? That's what we need to be focused on. And there are 10 ways to enter into the kingdom of God. So if you haven't heard that one and you don't go online, it'll be coming one of these days. But we're up to 142 and we've done 160 and I think we're up to about 72 on the CDs with this coming mailing. Okay? forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. That's what we're to do. All of this cleanses the mind. It lifts the burden, relieves the depression, gets rid of the anger, and gives you clear vision to understand what you need to do. Now notice, I press. He says, I press. That's the work that needs to be done toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now notice this. Here's a promise. So then, let as many as be perfect be of this mind. And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. Now, isn't that a blessing? You be of this mind, and God will help you see other things you need to repent of too. That's a tremendous blessing, isn't it? Yes. See? Now look, we're on the road to perfection through Christ, but all of us are a walking bundle of mistakes, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Isn't that true? Yes. Because God is called what? He's called the weak. He's called the foolish. He's called the lowborn. But he has a great surprise for all the elite of the world. They're all going to become unemployed, and we're going to take their places when Christ returns. Okay? So we have a lot to look forward to. So let's remember this. Any otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, in regard to that which we have attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind this, be of the same mind. Brethren, be imitators together of me, and bear in mind those who walk in this way as you have us for example. For an example. The brethren, a lot of us who've been in the church a long time, we have varying degrees of baggage that we need to get rid of. If we've had trauma or circumstances that are very long-lasting in our lives, we need to ask God to help us repent, forgive, and overcome. And you will see, it will work miracles in your mind and the way that you think. It will help you in your relationship to God in prayer and in study and in loving God and serving Him. It will clean away. You know, for those of you who have glasses, have you ever had glasses so fogged over, you know, and you get used to them and you think your eyes are going bad? So you go to the optometrist and he takes a look at your eyes. He doesn't tell you that, well, they're just fine. But I notice your glasses are dirty. Let's clean them up. And then you say, oh, what a relief that is. Okay? So let's see if we can do that with this, with the washing of the water by the word. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.